Anybody here need a fresh start? Anybody needs a little cleaning up in their life? All right. Anybody need a little help from God? All right. We came to the right place this morning, right? Because everything we need, we find in Jesus Christ. We find it in God. And so this morning, we're gonna prove that to you through the scriptures, of course. Remember, I had said that when Jesus resurrected, he spent 40 more days on earth after his resurrection. And he taught the disciples about the kingdom of God. And so he was speaking to them and reminding them of all the things that God is and all what the kingdom encompasses. And especially, I'm sure, as they were listening to him, those disciples, many of them, were actually eyewitnesses to what Jesus did. So they were able to probably go back in time and remember, oh, I remember when Jesus did this. I remember when Jesus did that. I remember when Jesus touched this person. I remember when Jesus healed that person. And I'm sure all those memories came flooding back. And I'm sure they witnessed with their own eyes previously and brought back to mind everything that God's kingdom is all about, because they were eyewitnesses to that. And many of us that have been eyewitnesses to God's glory and God's change and God's growth and all the things that God has done in all of our lives, God's miraculous touch, right? We've all been a part of that, have we all not? Yes, one way, shape, or another. We've seen with our own eyes. But we sometimes forget, don't we? We sometimes, when we get in our human place where something might happen, or we might fall upon another situation, or we might even fall into the wrong way of living and being. And I don't know about you, but are some of you having trouble still changing? It's like, okay, God, I believe you can change me, and I'm giving you the power to do so. So why are you still letting me do what I'm doing? How come I'm not just like this perfect human being right now, instantaneously? Anybody else feel like that besides me? Yes, we all feel that way sometimes, don't we? And that's why we need a fresh start. The wonderful thing, you know, what I was looking at in scriptures this week was, well, David, who was the king back in the Old Testament, was a flawed human being. In fact, every person described in the scriptures and in the Bible, other than Jesus, was a flawed human being. So we are flawed human beings. We can admit that. We're all flawed, right? And some of us have more glaring flaws than others. And some of us deny our flaws, and we hide them and we put them aside, so we think, right, no one's going to notice them, right? Those things that we do on our own by ourselves, mainly in a car, evidently. So certainly no one can hear us, right, unless we have a passenger and passengers, right? That's a place where we get outed, right? If we're, never mind. So anyway, all that said, so what it just proves to us is none of us are perfect. Can we start with that? So if I'm not perfect and you're not perfect, we're not here to judge each other's imperfections, are we? No, because we're, you know, those of us that have different sins, doesn't make us any better or worse than you. We're all in this together. We're all flawed human beings who are in need of a Savior, who consistently, daily, sometimes every second of the day, needs to be helping us with a fresh start, with a fresh start. So as soon as you yell at the guy in front of you in traffic, there is an accelerator in the car, you know, that kind of thing. Being a car person that I am, I try to remind people that there are accelerators. When the light turns green, you put your foot down. Oh, never mind. So I think I remember mentioning one of my sermons, or several of them, to say God bless you on your way instead. And why am I in such a hurry? Is it their fault I'm running late? No, maybe it was because I diddle-daddled with whatever I was doing before I left the house and didn't leave quite on time. And I'm like, oh, I got to get there. Whose fault is it? Gracie's, that's right. Blame the dog. Thank you. You're wise not to say Becky. Very nice. She's learning. She's learning. You're growing. I love it. All right. Awesome. I don't know about you, but, no one wins in the blame game. Nobody wins. Nobody ever wins. In the forgiveness game, everybody wins. How cool is that, right? How cool is that? So David, back to David. He was a flawed human being, and he sinned grievously, and he felt sorry about that. He felt remorse for that, and he goes to God. In Psalm 51, he prays to God. Psalm 51, verse 10, he says, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in me. So every morning, every day, every hour, and especially in places where you sometimes fall short of being who you want to be or who Christ would have you be, you have to pray this prayer. Create in me a clean heart. And put a right spirit, the right kind of spirit. What kind of spirit are we after? God's spirit, the Holy Spirit. Renew it, renew it. See, it's a renewal. We're constantly being renewed day after day after day. We're being made new every day. We've been reborn. We've been resurrected, as we know. But every day, because we're still human, while we're on this planet, as human beings who are sometimes flawed more than others, and not always our best selves, our Christ-like selves, when we fall short of that standard of who we want to be, we pray this prayer, Psalm 51:10. We say to God, create a clean heart in me. Put the right spirit within me. Let me have the right spirit within me, the right frame of mind, the mind that is of Christ, as it says in Philippians. So that was a prayer that David prayed. And the interesting thing where I find throughout scriptures, and particularly in the Old Testament, sometimes people think that God is not a forgiving God. But when you read the entire Old Testament, you really see how many times God forgave his people. How many times they fell short. How many times they did what they did. And how many times God forgave and forgave and forgave. So we see forgiveness in the Old Testament. And then we see it through Jesus. Let's go to the book of Luke this morning. And we're going to go to Luke chapter 7. And if you go back to chapter 6, by the way, Jesus talks about not to judge, but in case you want to read that later. Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to come to his home for a meal. So Jesus accepted the invitation and sat down to eat. A certain immoral woman heard he was there and brought a beautiful jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee who was the host saw what was happening and who the woman was, he said to himself, "This proves that Jesus is no prophet. If God had really sent him, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner." Then Jesus spoke up and answered his thoughts. Don't you love how Jesus gets in your head and knows what you're thinking? Isn't it cool that Jesus knows your thoughts, what you're thinking? Sometimes, right? Put a new, clean, healing heart. Right spirit, right thoughts. Who's touching Jesus? A sinner. Not supposed to happen, is it? Sinners aren't allowed to touch God, go near God, be near God, correct, according to the Pharisee? The Pharisee, the religious leader who was self-righteous, who was judging this woman, who was immoral. Jesus knew exactly who she was, just like he knew what the Pharisee's thoughts were. So he's gonna do something that you're going to witness, that the disciples witness, and we can continue to witness it in our own lives. Because if any of you here are a sinner, anybody? Oh, okay, all right. I'll Oh, me. Okay. All right. We're all flawed. We all sin. We all fall short. Correct? All imperfect. This message is for all of us. Because just like David, who did a terrible thing, he asked God to put a clean heart in him and renew his mind and renew his spirit. When we are longing to be cleaned and free of our sins in terms of needing forgiveness, needing restoration, reconciliation with God, when we are remorseful, this woman is weeping at Jesus' feet. She doesn't come to the front of him, if you notice, right? They're sitting at a table. She comes in behind. Her shame is so great. Her embarrassment is so great. Her belief that maybe if she comes in the back door, no one will see her. But she also knows she's probably going to be judged by the Pharisee. She took a huge risk to go into that Pharisee's home, knowing full well he was a judgmental person, knowing full well that he would call her a sinner, an immoral person, that he would be judging her and condemning her. But yet she needed forgiveness so much, and there was something about Jesus. Evidently, she heard something about Jesus. She had heard it through the grapevine, perhaps people in her village, perhaps people in another village, maybe the disciples. I don't know who told this immoral woman. Guess what? Jesus is at the Pharisee's home. And if you need forgiveness, that's the guy to go to. And so she risked everything. She needed freedom from her own guilt so much that she took it upon herself to walk right in to the place and the face of judgment, knowing she could easily be stoned for what she had done, because that's what the law said. And Jesus is sitting there. And she was hoping upon hope that perhaps what she had heard about him being the Son of God who takes away the sins of the world, the one who loves unconditionally, the one who brings forgiveness for all humanity's sins, that one was sitting at that very table. And she needed so desperately, just like David needed desperately, to be cleansed and forgiven, to be set free. And so she comes behind Jesus. And her shame, her guilt, her feelings, her emotions poured out on him through her tears. She knew she was immoral. She knew she was a sinner. She knew she was condemned. She knew she was less than anybody else. But she wanted to be loved and forgiven more than anything. And through her tears of her sadness and her guilt and her shame, she pours herself out, regardless of whoever's around her. I don't know about you, but if you've ever done something so awful that you almost hate yourself, and you would be so ashamed if anybody else ever knew, you wouldn't ever dream of telling them because you would be so afraid of their judgment, so afraid of their rejection, so afraid that they would turn against you, so afraid that they would abandon you and leave you, so afraid that they would go around telling what you had done. That's what the world does. That's what pharisaical people do. But if you've ever felt that type of guilt or shame or remorse, there's somewhere you can go. You go to Jesus. You go to Jesus. And you go to people who are like Jesus. Be careful who you share your vulnerabilities with. I will say that. But a godly person who's just like Jesus Christ will never condemn you, will never judge you. Because most likely, they're just like you. So she weeps at his feet, and so Jesus turns to the Pharisee and answers his thoughts. Simon, he said, I have something to say to you. Imagine being talked to like that from Jesus. All right, teacher, go ahead. I can take it. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces to the other. But neither of them could repay him, so he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, so he's, what's happening? She's behind him, right? Now think about it. Right? Jesus is sitting there. The woman's behind him, weeping at his feet, pouring perfume upon him, worshiping him because she knows who he is. And now Jesus turns towards her. See, listen, God will never turn away from you ever, no matter what you've done, no matter how far you've fallen, no matter how dirty your life gets or has gotten or has been in the past, no matter how flawed you are, no matter how immoral you are, no matter what sin you've ever committed, large or small or anything in between, God will always turn to you and turn back to you. You're never, never, never rejected by God. So he turns to her while he's talking to Simon. Look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss of greeting, but she's kissed my feet again and again from the time I first came in. Imagine that, kissing Jesus' feet. Why? So grateful that she knew she was forgiven. She knew this man enwrapped forgiveness, and that's exactly what she needed. She was going to be set free. She was going to stop hating herself. She wasn't going to worry about what other people thought again. She was going to start a new life. She was going to be cleansed. Her cleansing tears upon him, she was receiving cleansing upon her heart and her soul right in that very moment. And so she's kissing his feet in gratitude. Whew. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she's anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many. My sins, and they are many. Many, 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 many. My sins are many. Her sins are many. Your sins are many. Many, 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 right? Large, small, and everywhere in between. We've all messed up, haven't we? We all continue to do so, don't we? We don't want to. We're going to keep asking God, put a clean heart in me. Remember that, right? We're going to keep asking. Her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. Woo! Wow! Her sins, your sins, my sins, everybody's sins have been forgiven! Woo-hoo! Oh, I feel so better now. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, one more time, he turns to her. He forgets about Simon. Simon, you don't understand that, you know, you think you're sinless and whatever. You don't love me at all because you don't need maybe my forgiveness, so you think. But all that said, that's Simon's problem. We're not going to worry about Simon. Who are we talking about today? You and me, us, and everybody else. Those of us that acknowledge that we're sinners and we admit it and we know it. Now, I'm not telling you to, you know, count your sins and all that good stuff. I mean, you know, don't hold them against yourself. Where do you take them? To Jesus. You take them to him. And guess what? You don't have to sneak up behind him. So when you're in a safe environment like this particular church and hopefully many other churches, we welcome sinners here. You're in good company because we know we're not quite there yet. We know we're not perfect. We know you're not. And when someone messes up in our church or in your life and you're surprised, huh? Why? Because why? They still need cleaning up, don't they? So we teach them the prayer, create in them a clean heart, renew a right spirit in them. But you notice David said, create it in me. You pray for others. You ask God to change you. You change your heart towards other people, in fact. Your sins are forgiven. The men at the table said among themselves, who does this man think he is going around forgiving people? Who does he think he is? Only the Son of God. Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Right? When you know you've been forgiven, is your life more peaceful? Is your mind more peaceful? You feel better about yourself? Say yes. Yes, yes, you do, right? What God wants, I believe, all the time through the scriptures as we see them. God wants us, when we find ourselves in a place where we need forgiveness or we need to forgive someone else, God wants us to go to him. And if you go with a willing heart, just like David, just like this woman who gave up everything and risked everything to go find forgiveness and be set free forevermore and go live in peace after that, just like the woman in John 8 who was caught in adultery and they were going to stone her, remember her, and that's why she's also listed in the scriptures for this morning's message. You know, when you read about that, Jesus forgave her too. And he said, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. And the other thing he said that I love that part of scripture, he said, who's here to condemn you? Remember all the Pharisees had gathered around? They were supposed to stone her. See, I remember that message, that witnessing of seeing that. If you've ever had other people that have tried to gather around you and tell you all the bad things about you, and they gather and they want to point it all out to you, you know, when you have a sign on you that says complaints here, you know, whatever. Criticize me is on the back. And we walk around the world, and other people that don't have the mind or the heart of Christ, unfortunately, are pharisaical, and they want to judge us for whatever it is because we're not like them. We don't sin the way they do, so we're not good enough. So, but Jesus says, does anyone here condemn you as they put their stones down? Remember that? Does anyone here condemn you? Does anyone here condemn you? No, for there's no condemnation in Jesus Christ, Romans 8:1. He says, neither do I. I love that red letter part. Neither do I. Does anybody condemn you?
No.
Does God condemn you?
No.
What does God want to do for you?
Forgive
you. Give you a new clean heart. Renew your spirit. And help you to grow, spiritually speaking, to be more like God. But you have to do something. This is where you get to participate. You have to go to God and ask that prayer. You have to be like that woman who goes up to Jesus and says, I need your forgiveness. You have to stop being ashamed and embarrassed and afraid. You have to be vulnerable enough to go to God and say, I messed up. I really messed up. I really, really, really messed up this time, God. And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Lately, I've been taking care of the house somewhat, and I learned how to do laundry. At 66 years old, I can admit I can do laundry now. Thank you so much. Thank you. You're never too old to learn a new talent and gift. Yes, yes, yes. I also broke the washer, so we have a new one now. So... Actually, I'm blaming the electrical company, but needless to say, and I was thinking, as I was reading the scriptures, I was doing laundry this week, and I had this washcloth I had to clean, and there it is. So I don't know what I didn't put in the water. If you can't maybe or not see it, but there's like this black mark on it, sort of. Bleach. Oh, bleach. That's what I missed. Okay, bleach. So I was looking at this, and I was preparing for my sermon, and I had read that, you know, put a clean heart in me, Lord. And I was thinking about our soul and souls. Every one of us get a few black marks on it, don't we? Things that happen to us, things that other people maybe even have done to us, emotionally or spiritually speaking. And on our soul sometimes, this is what it looks like. I actually have a worse one, but I didn't want to bring it in here. So you get the point, right? So that's how we start out before we come to Christ. And then, so then I did this other one, and I cleaned it. Now, what you probably can't see, though, yeah, I know, all right. So I remembered the bleach this time, but it's kind of like a yellowish, weird color. So this is some of us in our spiritual growth. When you first maybe come to church, maybe that you're, you know, maybe you come in here like this is all black. And some of you, you know, you partially step into Christ and you tell him some of the things you want to, you know, you need or ask for forgiveness for. And sometimes it's still left on you because it hasn't been cleansed yet. And then we grow in our spiritual walk. And then, we're kind of doing pretty good on this one, right? There's only a little bit of stuff on there that's still there. But what must you do to be fully cleansed? You gotta really step in. Really, really, really walk into Christ and say, create a clean heart in me. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness, all of it. Cleanse it all. Take your bleach, Lord, and clean my soul. And then we get this. Ta-da! How about that? So if you have three washcloths, you can say, look at the great job I did. I might, no. Some of us can't see the marks that are on your soul. Some of us can from time to time. Because it shows on your face, in your guilt, in your shame, when you can't quite verbalize, when you can't quite express that you need help having that soul cleansed. But I want to tell you this. A washer spins and spins and does all kinds of, you know, tumultuous things to you. If you were inside a washer as a washcloth, that's not how Jesus works. He's gentle. He's kind. He's like the wool light of spirituality. Because you're delicate. All you have to do is be willing to step into the place where you can be cleansed. God said to me, and I'm going to share this with you, which is why I keep a journal. Give me all of the sinful and ugly things that have stained your soul. And when I do, I will wash you clean and give you a fresh start. So you give God all your sinful, ugly things, you know, this black stuff, that we could probably throw it away and say, well, we're not going to use that cloth anymore. No. God says, I can still use you. Give me all those ugly things that are in your soul that bother you so much. Give them to him. And when you do, he'll wash you clean and give you a fresh start. Need a fresh start this morning? So this is where you come in. This is where you have the opportunity as we come to our communion time or as we have a time here up by the altar, wherever you think Jesus is for you, in your seat. This is the time you come face to face with God and you say, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Renew a right spirit in me. I have many, many, many sins. And here's the ugliness of my life, the things that I've held inside for so long that I haven't given to you, God. But I know and believe you're going to take that. Take the stains from me and here in a church make something beautiful. So I offer you the opportunity this morning to come face to face with Jesus Christ. He's here by the power of the Holy Spirit. You have nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to be embarrassed about. You're all welcome at this table, at the kneeler, wherever you find Jesus around you, you'll feel his spirit. All he wants from you is that willingness for you to step forward and say, cleanse me, God. You'll be set free. And you will leave this place in peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.